Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast.
Oh, my little ankle biters. Do I sense dissension in the ranks? Are we ready for homework or shall we continue manual labor?
Welcome to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, where it's all about slashing your debt and taxes and creating a liberated lifestyle. And now, your host, with a love of fantasy books and funk, and a hatred of running more than 3 miles, Dave Denniston.
Well, welcome back, my friends. I am just so honored, so glad you take time out of your busy, compressed schedule to spend time with me. And today, we are going to be talking about taxes. I have spent a ton of time in this podcast talking about debt and debt and more debt. And of course, we all know this podcast is focused on helping you slash your debt and helping you slash your taxes to help you live a liberated lifestyle. And so, my friends, I am bringing out of the vaults my good friend, Josh Metal, of another podcast, a Physician Success Podcast, which I will link in the show notes, had me on as a guest, gosh, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago? I can't remember. It's been quite a while. I think it was actually before I had this podcast. And so I'm going to bring this out of the vault. I talk about a ton of tax content in here, so I know you are going to love it. And so, with no further ado, here is the podcast with Josh.
Hello, and welcome to the Physician Financial Success Podcast. My name is Josh Metal, and this is the podcast dedicated to advising physicians how to avoid financial landmines. Dave's self-described passion is to help his clients eliminate debt and reduce their tremendous tax burden. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. Dave, welcome to the show. We are excited to have you.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Josh. This will be fun.
It will be fun. I was telling you before we started the podcast here that as I was reading your workbook, I was getting excited for this. So let's jump right in if we can.
Let's do it.
The first question I have for you is when I was reading a little bit about your story, you told the story of your daughter. Am I saying her name correctly? Is it Evangeline?
Evangeline, close enough.
Evangeline, okay, all right. Thank you for your forgiveness there. Evangeline's birth and how that kind of traumatic experience eventually led you to be passionate about serving physicians. Would you just recap that for us? I love that story.
Yeah, you bet. Well, about 2.5 years ago, my wife and I had our second daughter, and it was just such an incredible trying time for us and our family. My wife with our first daughter had toxemia, preeclampsia, and the docs thought, oh, it's probably not going to come back again. And it came back again with the second pregnancy 7 years later with just a vengeance. My wife was having by about 20 weeks gestationally, halfway through the dang thing, she was having horrible headaches. And her blood pressure was way up, and so she got hospitalized. They were telling us she might have to be in the hospital for the whole remainder of the pregnancy, and things just got progressively worse. We were told time and time again, oh, it can't be toxemia, it can't be toxemia. And lo and behold, finally at 23 weeks gestationally, it showed up officially in the exams. And so here we were in the hospital, and My oldest daughter, who was 6 at the time, I had to explain the situation to her that they're going to have to take out her baby sister and she may not make it. And wow. Having that conversation was so hard. But the residents and the fellows and the neonatologists were just awesome in walking through the process. One thing that stuck out to me as they told us we were going to have to take her out, and tears just kind of rolling down my face, as I asked, well, being the analytical guy that I am, how much of a chance does she have? And they said, well, less than 40%, but in her case, it's either all or nothing. So luckily, she came out 23 weeks gestationally. She was born less than a pound, 12 ounces and change. And it was just a life-changing event. I was there in the operating room the whole time, and we were in the NICU for 5 months afterwards till her adjusted birth date of September. And so as I was in there in the hospital for 5 months, I got to know a lot of the residents and fellows and docs and thought about who my current clients are, and I said, you know what, I could really help these people, and I want to be able to give back. So that's part of the reason I'm here today, is just to help give back and give great information and the stuff that I love and know and I'm passionate about, and that's stocks, bonds, mutual funds, taxes, insurance, and all that stuff.
Man, I'm telling you, that is a powerful story. And I mean, the story of her being born at 12 ounces, my wife, you know, we have two young children, almost five and just turned three daughter. And she had, you know, natural births in both of those children. And so, you know, you see a woman for 12, 13 hours go through natural birth, and it's a trying, emotional, tears shed kind of a experience, but pales in comparison to that story of yours. That is such a powerful story, and I love the way you got into this business. Thanks for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And it's if you can imagine, you go home without your child. Oh. That was the hardest thing for my wife.
I can't imagine. I cannot take myself there as a parent, man. But I'm grateful that you and your family are safe. That is super cool.
Yeah, she's doing great now. So that's the awesome news. Here we are 2 years later. She's healthy, defying all the odds. She's catching up on everything. So it's awesome.
She's a miracle baby.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. Well, today we are going to review one of your workbooks. You've offered a couple of workbooks, and this one's titled Seven Secrets to Reducing Taxes for Doctors. But before we jump into the seven secrets, can you give us just a brief overview of the first chapter titled How the Tax System Works? Because I think most people in America could not explain that with any sort of accuracy. And talk a little bit about the general trajectory of tax rates over the last few years, and put on your Nostradamus hat and tell us where they're going in the future.
Well, that is a great, great question, Josh. And first, I just want to say we only have so much time. So I could spend probably 3 hours on a seminar on this topic. So we're just going to try and condense it, do a 30-minute overview on all this stuff. So if people want more information for your listeners, I'm more than happy to give them this whole book for free at doctorsachieveretirement.com. So make sure to check that out, doctorsachieveretirement.com. So let's talk about taxes. There's basically three different kinds, all right, that most physicians need to be worried about: income taxes, payroll taxes, things like Social Security, Medicare, and then capital gains taxes. So those are the three main kinds we're going to be talking about a lot today. Now, income taxes are the kind people can control the most. Obviously, we all get paid, but there's ways that we can be proactive with those. So we'll chat about that for a couple minutes. The second one is payroll taxes, Social Security taxes. So this is the stuff that helps subsidize all the various programs like Social Security and Medicare, and those are the hardest to adjust. Although if you're a business owner, there's some cool stuff you can do there. And then lastly, capital gains taxes. And those are actually completely under the control of the individual unless they are in mutual funds. So we'll talk about that a little bit too. Do you want me to start with income taxes a little bit, Josh? Or?
Yeah, I love it. There's so much here, but let's start with income.
All right. So income taxes, the first thing that I think people get messed up on when they look at the tax tables and you look at the rates is that you start getting taxed out of the gate. Well, that's not true. At a minimum, if you're single, the first $9,000 of your income is actually income tax free. If you're married, it's $18,000. So if you're a resident or fellow on the federal level, you're barely getting taxed at all, because then you're getting taxed at the next bracket, 10% after that. So just think, as a resident or a fellow, you are in a low tax bracket when you're there. When you are in practice, now this is when you're getting hit. And there's all kinds of provisions people need to be aware of. Now, income taxes, we'll talk a little bit about later. I think, Josh, you wanted to talk about my five-step system
yes.
that docs can do once they're in practice. So we'll talk about that. Payroll taxes, these are getting more expensive with the Affordable Care Act. So there's two particular ways that your income tax as a doc, once you're in practice, that you have to watch out for, that I want to make sure all of your listeners are aware of. Number one, it pushed up the top income tax bracket from 39% up to almost 39.6. So just on federal income taxes, not even including state, many physicians are pushing 40% on income at a given level. Below that, no. So you want to make sure you are looking at these strategies, because when you add in 5% for state, you're pushing 45%. Mm-hmm. Second thing that physicians need to be aware of that the Affordable Care Act did was they added a 3.8% tax on the lesser of net investment income or excess modified adjusted gross income if you're over 250K if you're married or 200K if you're single. So investment income is something we have to be really cautious of, particularly when you have a two-doc household. A single-doc household may or may not, if you're a surgeon, ophthalmologist, someone like that, you may be more subject to it. Also consider that the capital gains rates also increase because of this same thing. So you got to be careful of this stuff. Payroll taxes also came into effect there too, where the Affordable Care Act, if you're making over 250K, there's an additional Medicare tax of 0.9% if you're married or you're making over 200K if you are single. So before you're paying 15.3 in payroll taxes, now you're paying 16.2.
Wow. So that leads us to the next question, which is, tell us where we've come, and you've talked a little bit about things going up, but what do you see the trajectory of taxes headed over the next few years? Kind of a loaded question, but I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. Basically, if you look at the history, for the last 30 years, two things have come down: interest rates and taxes. And we're at the bottom of the cycle for both of these things, which I know you can relate to.
Absolutely.
On interest rates.
Absolutely.
And definitely people need to be looking into thinking about making sure that their mortgages have a low interest rate and that they lock in and buy those homes if they have the ability. And then number two, in relation to taxes, you can see this just happening over the last few years, and this is likely to continue to increase with the various issues we have. Number one, hey, we're getting close to election season. I want to encourage everyone, get out there and vote. If you're a doc, you are under attack. They're trying to change your Medicare reimbursements. They're going to be trying to change your income. So make sure you get out there and vote and make your voice heard. We need to solve those huge government entitlement issues of Social Security and Medicare, whether it's pushing up ages or increasing taxes or having a cap on what millionaires can get from it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Those, whatever you stand for, whatever you believe in, you need to make your voice heard out there, because as a doc, you will see your taxes go up if you keep silent.
Yeah. Hey, one side note, before we get into the five ways to reduce our income and therefore our income taxes, just real quick, out of curiosity, there's a cap at which you can no longer write off the interest on your primary or secondary residence. Do you know that number right off the top of your head?
I have to apologize. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't either.
So you and I will figure that out after the show. And then when we do the transcription of this, we'll add it in. Nobody will ever know that we didn't know.
Okay.
Except for the listeners. But if they're reading the transcription, we'll add it in there. All right, let's move on then. So let's move into the five ways to reduce our income, which is one of the chapters in your workbook. I'll turn it over and let's start with number one.
Yeah, so this strategy is something that many people are aware of, but they miss a couple of points. So number one, this is basic, right? You want to contribute to your employer-sponsored retirement plan, whatever that is. And I have a simple mantra: pay yourself first. So everyone, if you're listening, I want you to say this to yourself, pay yourself first. And so this money comes right out of your paycheck. It's withheld by employer. It doesn't even see your tax return. And this is because it's the income report on your tax return is adjusted by these kinds of deductions. And at a minimum, I don't care if you're a resident or a fellow or someone else, more than likely you can get free money just by participating. So at a minimum, if you have a match, at least do that, right? So let's say you put in $3,000. Your employer may match $1,500 or $3,000. You just got a 50% or 100% return just for participating. So you got to do that. Got to do that. And then beyond that, consider that beyond that free return you just got, you get a tax deduction. So here we were just talking about taxes. Perhaps as a resident or a fellow, that's not as important. But once you hit being a doc in practice, you know, here where we're looking at 40, 45% tax rates that a lot of docs are going to be paying. So you're saving 45, 50% of your money just by putting it in. And the maximum for most physicians that are under 50 years old is $17,500. If you are over 50, that's $23,000. So think about that for a second. If you're over 50 years old, you sock away $23,000. That is at least $8,600 that you are saving yourself in taxes today.
So what is that time barrier between long-term and short-term capital gains? Is that holding the asset for 2 years or longer?
Great question. 1 year. Only 1 year.
Only 1 year. Got it. All right. So with the time we have left, can you give us a brief overview of charitable contributions? And really, Dave, any other common deduction strategies that our listeners should be employing to save on taxes that come to mind?
Number one, hey, just give back. Do something good to help somebody out, you know? Do something to help back the community. And there's any number of ways you can do this, whether it's cash contributions or dropping off stuff to the Goodwill. My wife and I do that just to clean out our closet and clean out our house with kids. You know how that goes.
Yep.
You gotta
get rid of
clean it out every so often. So might as well get a donation for it, right? I mean, if you sell it on Craigslist, you're probably not going to get a whole lot of money for it. So might as well get a tax deduction for it. And overall, people just need to make sure they're keeping great records, contribute a cash or check. The other thing, which is huge, is you can also contribute property or an appreciated asset.
Hmm.
So I can't overstate this enough. So if I look at the example at the top of my mind again, which is Microsoft stock. So if someone has, for example, Bill Gates, this is what he did. He established his own foundation.
Well, Dave, I appreciate your time, and we're right there. I always know it's been a great show when we're I feel like we snapped our fingers, and here we are at the end of the show. But I want to give folks an opportunity to be able to find out more about you and of course get the workbook, but also find out more about the rest of the services that you offer, because what you've put together on taxes is really, really quite remarkable in that it's very simple, but very straight to the point and very effective. But you also have another workbook out. And if the folks want to find more about you and if you feel like it, please just tell us a little bit about the other workbooks that you have out and the services you offer and then how do folks reach you?
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Josh. So I've written about five different workbooks. Three are physician specific. We talked about the taxes. When I have another one on debt. So if you're a resident or fellow or newly out of practice, I highly recommend that book. I talk about IBR versus PER, was the insurance guide for physicians. So I talk all about life insurance and disability income, and making sure that people can't get screwed over on having Cadillac policies and what to watch out for. And I give multiple examples because I always try and put myself in someone else's shoes in terms of what would I do if I were them. So those are all great resources. And then lastly, you and I were chatting before that I have a book coming out, which is going to compile all of these different things with even more material that's probably coming out maybe next year. So hopefully people might want to check that out and look for that as a resource. And people can always reach me if they want help with their individual situation. I'm always more than happy to meet with any resident or fellow for free. Existing docs can give you a discount on the normal services for being a listener here with Josh. You can reach me at dave@daviddeniston.com, D-A-V-E at D-A-V-I-D-D-E-N-N-I-S-T-O-N.com, or give me a call toll-free, 800-548-1820.
Dave, thanks again. We'll make sure and put those contact information right up on the podcast. And it was a pleasure connecting with you. And I just want to applaud you for the value that you are bringing to your clients. And beautiful story. And we look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Well, thanks so much, Josh. And I just want to say thank you to those physicians that are listening for what they do. You know, I just can't thank the great physicians that helped us out enough. And I think often so many docs are overworked and underappreciated for what they do. So thank you, Dr. Schwoll, you do. And thank you, Josh, for making this available to them.
Oh, man. Well said. And you are very welcome. We'll connect soon.
All right. Thanks, Josh.
Hey, this is Dave Denniston, and I hope you liked today's episode. If you do and you want some more ideas on achieving financial freedom, if you are someone who hasn't really taken the time to take the approaches that we're talking about here in the podcast, and you want to crack the financial code, you want to hit the sweet spot financially, through the end of August, I am picking a handful of people and doing a diagnostic strategy session for each of them individually. This is where I personally take a look at your finances. I give you some high-level ideas on what we could work on with you and things that could help you hit the sweet spot financially. If you're interested in applying, you can email me at dave@daviddeniston.com or visit the podcast website at www.drfreedompodcast.com/coaching. Don't let this podcast be like other ones where you hear great information, you get some great new ideas, but you never actually complete anything. If you're sick and tired of doing that, it is time to get on one of these calls with me and get yourself financially to the next level. To apply now, email me, dave@daviddeniston.com, or visit www.drfreedompodcast.com/coaching. Again, www.drfreedompodcast.com/coaching.